Good morning. In case you don't know who I am, I'm Cindy Stonex, married to, where'd he go? Oh, Rick Stonex out there. And I'm going to be, we've been a part of Evangel, just so you know, since the beginning. We thought Jeff was crazy when he wanted to leave Shekinah and start up this fellowship. He had a lot of wonderful, crazy ideas, though. But he just assumed we'd follow him, and I said, no, Jeff, that's not how it works. Just because I love you and you're my friend, I'm not just following you blindly. I'm going to ask the Lord about that. Because we really loved we really loved Shekinah. And then the Lord did confirm that, yes, indeed, we were to come with Jeff and Jody and begin this church together. And it's been a journey. It's been a journey and a joy. And we're very glad to be part of this fellowship. We were very glad to be a part of Shekinah. And I'll get to that later in this teaching. If you haven't been following if you're new here, you probably didn't know that we have this website. It's evangel/online.com. And there's this portion of it. It's called media, and you can listen to the messages in there. And so that's really good for you to know in case you would like to get some of the other teachings. They've been wonderful. I've been impressed with everybody that shared that I was here to hear. And also in the truck driving over to Sun River and back, we got to hear two of the people that we missed while we were on vacation. So Wayne started us off in Romans 8, 1 through 4. Scott Precisen, I think I'm saying that right, Romans 8, 5 through 11. Jeff Beck, Romans 8, 12 through 17. Jim Kangas, Jeff, we weren't here for yours, but we did listen to it and loved it. It was awesome. Jim Kangas taught 8 through 18 and 25. And Adam Bradbury taught 8 through 26 through 30. So I'm responsible for Romans 31 through 39. And bear with me because we're not going to start there. Because I have labored over this teaching because I wanted to get it right. But that's just because it's the Word of God, and that I don't take lightly. So I figure if I'm up here talking to you guys and teaching you something, I want it to be really thought out. I want it to be well discovered. I want it to be thoroughly researched. And so, plus I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, so anything could happen today because I tend to just go with a role with the Spirit of God because I'm not confined to boundaries. I do have self-control sometimes. So I'm going to start with Romans 8, 26 through 30, but I'd like to pray because I just want us, Lord, to have our hearts aligned with your heart today. And I know it has been, obviously, the worship, the prayers that were prayed, the communion, it was all just, it pointed all towards this teaching that I'm about to do. So I know that you are with us all. Give us ears to hear and a heart to respond to your word today, that we may not miss what you may be wanting to do in each and every one of us, because you are faithful. You've been faithful to us, even when we weren't faithful to you. So I just say, God, have your way this morning. Bless the people that are here. Bless them for being here. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay. If you want to follow along, you may. You don't have to. But we'll begin in verse 26 of Romans 8. And it says, meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs. Has anybody ever had that happen? Where you just cry because you can't think of anything else to do? Yeah, I have done that a lot. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. And I've also done that. Anybody experience that one? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, see? He knows us far better. Now, get this. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. Really take that to heart, because that is the truth of the matter. So that means if he knows you better, Dan, than you know yourself, doesn't that mean that you can trust him with your whole life? Yes. The answer to that is yes. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows our pregnant condition. Men, I know that's a hard concept because you've never been pregnant, but you've had wives or girlfriends that have been. And he keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. And we're going to really deal on this part. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lives as the Son, as the life of his Son, Jesus. So he who calls us will actually perfect us. So we're reading 29 through 30 here. From the distant past, his eternal love reached into the future. You see, he knew those who would be his one day, and he chose them beforehand to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that Jesus would be the firstborn of a new family of believers, all brothers and sisters, which you are. If you are in Christ, you are a brother and sister to each other, to Christ and to me. As for those he chose beforehand, he called them to a different destiny so that they would experience what it means to be made right with God and share in his glory. Keep that in mind, being made right with God and sharing in his glory.
You'll have to excuse me, sorry. Shouldn't have done that in the mic.
And in Philippians, I don't know why my throat does this. Philippians 1:6 says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Son stands first in the line of humanity. He restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. Okay, so here comes my personal testimony. I was saved by God's mercy and grace October 21st, 1981. 35 years ago, I became a born-again believer. I was raised Catholic and didn't know anything different. I really didn't either, other than my friend tried to keep me going. She kept trying to get me to go to the Mormon church, and my mom kept saying, no, 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 you're not going to the Mormon church. And so, anyway, that's when I got saved. Rick got saved a month later, but he grew up in a Christian family. I didn't come to faith in Christ until October 21st, 1981, but he didn't come to Christ till November sometime. And he was running from God. I was running to God I didn't know that, but I was searching. I was really a seeker all through high school. I was seeking, I was wondering, I didn't know. I thought, I know it's more than what I've experienced. God has to be nicer than I think he is. And I don't know, I just had this impression of God being up there with this big stick. And if I didn't say my prayers right, if I didn't do this right, if I didn't do that right, besides which I went to Catholic school. So the nuns were kind of cruel too. And so I was like, all right, well, this is my life for now. But when we got married, I was 21 and Rick was 23. And so we've been together 3 years and we finished college. Well, he was done. I wasn't quite finished, but he graduated from the forestry engineering school at Oregon State University, and I was in the home ec department studying child development and family life. And so the timber industry in the 80s was pretty slow. It really pared back because they just kind of quit allowing the guys that were taking timber off the hills and stuff to fall timber. And so all the companies were paring back their employees. And so we moved here, took a temporary job. Rick took a temporary job with fiber. And we thought we'd just be here for a season, but came to be that we stayed. And I wasn't really thrilled because it was really kind of stinky here. I'm not going to lie. And but it was beautiful because we saw the lake and everything. And we moved in on Field Street, and so I could walk to the lake. And I finished up my degree over at, which at the time was, the Progress Center was over at R.A. Long on their campus. And so I got a job there and began doing my thing. And very shortly after I got saved, within a year, I got very ill. And so it was like the balloon had just popped. I didn't know what was going on. And at the same time, this healing movement began. And I was like, this is happening to me. This is happening in the church. How does this all line up? Well, I went to the doctor finally because I thought I was not being faithful to the Lord if I went to the doctor. But finally, Jody convinced me, because I'd laid on the couch for 2 weeks in so much pain that I couldn't move. And she finally came over and said, "You're going to the doctor." And I said, "All right." And I mean, because I literally was racked with pain from my shoulders, my head, well, starting with my head, all the way down to my feet. And it was all in my chest. Come to find out, my lungs were affected, my heart was affected, and I was really in serious trouble. And I went to the emergency room, and the doctor didn't do anything for me. You know, I don't know what's going on. And so I laid my hand on my chest, and I said, "Lord, if this is going to kill me, please heal it now." And he healed part of it. He healed the pericarditis, and for those of you that don't know what that is, it's your heart lining becomes really inflamed. And then my heart was enlarged as well because of the inflammation. And so my lung lining still wasn't getting better. So the doctor I started seeing started giving me shots, high levels of prednisone, to get the inflammation pared down. But it did take a while for me to get to a doctor that could actually diagnose what I had, because even the doctor I had here in town was a really good internal medicine doctor. He couldn't really figure it out, but he suspected I had lupus. And he was right. So we had Jessica. And she was such a delight to our hearts, and we were so overjoyed. But it wasn't long. I felt great during the pregnancy, but it wasn't long after that that my hormones started to dump again, and I started to get sick again. So back to the doctor I go, and another shot of prednisone. Anyway, then we had our second daughter, and this one's so Alyssa was born, and I got sicker after her, and only was able to nurse her the first month. Jessica I got to nurse for a year, which for any of those moms that love to nurse their babies, it was crushing when I couldn't nurse Alyssa more than a month. But I was just too sick. And then we had a miscarriage, and the doctor had already told me not to have any more children after Jess. But I said to God, well, you're Lord in my life. You're Lord in my life. And so what do you have to say about it? And he said, you'll know when you're done. So I really did know when I was, I had peace about that. I knew that I could be done when God said so. And so then we had Chelsea Marie, our redhead, that I prayed for forever. I wanted a redhead. I wanted to pass on the genetics from my grandpa that I received that I was finally proud of. Got teased a lot as a kid for having red hair. Called me freckle-faced strawberry. Well, as a kid, you don't like to be called names. So lots of time. Let's see. So then we had Chelsea, sorry. And then the girls and I kind of ganged up on Rick. Rick was ready to be done. And I knew we weren't done. I knew that God had promised me a son. So the girls and I kind of secretly prayed for God to give us a son. And we named him Grant after Psalms 20. He will grant you the desires of your heart. And so he did. He gave us a son. So we were still part of Shekinah, very happy to be part of Shekinah. And we started this home group, not really a home group, prayer group at our house with Jeff and Jody and Jim and Diane Kingus. And I think it was like every Saturday night, didn't we do it for a long time? Anyway, seemed like a long time. So I was getting a little bit better, but we were going from conference to conference to try to get me healed, because she kind of really, really was all on board with this whole healing thing, and because it was John Wimber and the Vineyard, and we were pretty excited that, you know, God heals, and he can heal Cindy, and they even wheeled me in a wheelchair at one point because I couldn't move, and I think about those days and I think some of the crazy things we did. But I was so desperate to get well. I really was. I was so desperate to get well. I was willing to listen to just about anybody and take all kinds of advice. Some people that were well-meaning said some very awful things, I have to tell you. And other people were very gracious and they prayed. I really believe that God carried me through the body of Christ through that season of my life. Not that it's over. I still don't feel great. I wish I did. I wish I was over it, but that's not the point. You know, I think we're so caught up in wanting a ready answer. I think we just so much want to see something happen in our lives. We're willing to do anything to get it. And we almost want to force the will of God in order to do that. And we cannot do that, people. I have learned that the hard way. I have learned that when you try to force God to do something he's not ready to do, But God, you say, but God always heals, Cindy. God, and this has hurt me so much. I just want you to know that. Because it's like they're putting all the blame on me. When you're not healed, it's because you are thinking right. Well, maybe not. Okay, I give you that much. Maybe I'm not thinking right. But why isn't this lifting then? You know, I've done everything I know to do. Is it really on my shoulders or is it on God's shoulders? It's really up to God what he wants. He's Lord of my life. It's not like he doesn't look at me and say, oh, there's Cindy with no faith. He looks at me and he says, look at my daughter Cindy. She loves me. She worships me. You know, when we suffer, and this is a hard subject, you guys. It's not an easy subject to talk about because most people don't want to hear that we will suffer the sufferings of Christ. In order to go deeper with God, you have to suffer because we are being conformed into the image of him who did all the suffering for us. It's done. It's already been done, but we will suffer. And there is suffering in this life, and it transforms who we are if we'll let it. But when you keep going from one place to another in just this rapid, anxiety-ridden tailspin, trying to get your healing from other people, you know, yes, at times God shows up in the midst of that for you. But I'll tell you what, it is not trusting him. I'm sorry, but it isn't. It wasn't for me. Maybe it has been for you, and I hope so. I mean, but we are to place our trust and hope in him alone. We cannot place it in man. We can't place it in the next movement that happens in the church. We have got to listen to his voice. Joni, when you got up here and shared that, it was so in line with what I wanted to share today. Because in order to go deeper, we have to be in him. He is the only one who really matters. And sometimes I have let people dictate what I should do. And I've run after this and I've run after that. And I finally, after 35 years of being in Christ, have learned some really amazing lessons. It doesn't happen because somebody prays for me. Although I take prayer readily, I love to be prayed for. And it helps. But my responsibility before God is to know him and to know what he's saying to me, what the word says to me, and what the word is telling me. So forever and a day, I got hung up on that whole verse about, by his stripes you are healed. Well, what does that mean? So I'd ask God, I'd ask him, am I really just so faithless that you aren't willing to heal me? And God said, no, that's not it, Cindy. Take another look at the word. So I did. And Philippians 1:29-30, it says, for you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in this struggle together. We're supposed to be helpful to each other. We should not be laying condemnation on people. You've seen my struggle in the past, and you know I am still in the midst of it. And this is Paul speaking. How much more severe struggle do you think anyone had but the Apostle Paul? Colossians 1:24 says, now I rejoice in what I've suffered on your behalf, but even more, this is still Paul, but even more suffering is ahead for me as I take and complete what remains of the anointed suffering for the sake of his body, the church. That's a heavy statement. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody teach on this. That's a heavy statement, you guys. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, he was so bent on getting the word of Christ out to the people that didn't know about him yet that he was willing to suffer hardship. He was in jail. He was beaten. He was starved. This man went through it all, and he did it for Christ. And don't think that we couldn't, in some place in our lives, be challenged with those same things. I want us to realize that we could be. We've had it pretty easy here in America. But I'll tell you, there's all kinds of countries that still need to hear about Jesus and the hope that lies in him. Have I been hopeless during this time of my affliction? No. I have gained more Christ in my life through my affliction, I'm convinced, than if I hadn't been afflicted. Okay. I know you probably... You know what? I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm just here to tell you the truth. And that's how you know that it's a true sign that God's speaking, is when the person up front isn't trying to tickle your ears just to make you feel better. I'm sorry. If that's what you wanted, that's not what you're getting this morning. One of the breakthroughs I had was Psalm 46:10-11. God says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be praised in all the nations. I will be praised throughout the earth. The Lord all-powerful is with us. The God of Jacob is our defender." And I know that. That is a reality in my life. The weapons of our warfare, trust in God. Rest in him. Know that he will deliver you. You don't know when the deliverance is going to come. You can't mandate that. You cannot dictate that. That will happen when God releases it. Not that you should ever give up on God healing you. Not that you should ever not accept prayer for healing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying be content in all things. Because God is forever faithful. He cannot be anything but faithful. Because even when we're faithless, and I have had times of faithlessness. I know I have. We all have. When we've lost a little bit of our faith. A lot of us have been through some very trying times. And I'm not talking just about physical affliction. There's times when we've walked through relationship disasters. There's times when we've walked through a death of a family member. There's times when we haven't had enough money, right? So we've all suffered. It's not like if you live in America, it's all cushy-ushy. We've all suffered, but we've suffered unto something more. So you know that in the midst of it, God is faithful. Even if your circumstances don't dictate it, it's not according to our circumstances. Thank you. It's true. Paul prayed in 2 Corinthians 7 or 12, 7 through 10, he prayed for healing. And the only positive answer he received, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." How often do you hear that? God's power is made weak? Perfect. God's power is made perfect in your weakness. Do you know that I've laid hands on the sick and prayed and they've gotten healed? It's true. Is it like God's not going to use me just because I have an affliction? No, just like Paul, and I'm not saying I'm like Paul. I'm not trying to get to that at all. I'm just saying that just like that, I have taken my life seriously. It hasn't depended on my circumstances, in other words. I have to take my life with Christ seriously because he died for me. He gave his all for me. So I can make it through whatever he allows to come my way. Does God call Does God cause temptation? Does God cause suffering? No, we have a great adversary ready and waiting to devour us. And he hates us. I had an experience. I had an experience one night early on in our marriage. Our kids were still little, and I was sound asleep. And all of a sudden, this presence came into my room, to our room. And I couldn't see him, but I heard him. And I felt him. And I heard these words. And they were so evil and so wicked. And what I heard was, I hate you. And that took me a while to get over. Because then I became fearful. And then I became anxious. And then I had a whole other host of issues to deal with. Does that mean I lost my faith? No. It was just another opportunity for God to completely immerse me in him. It drew me back to him even more. I had to get on my knees even more. God, please let this pass. Please let this pass. Well, I had to go to the doctor. Finally, I had to give in, just like with the lupus. I finally had to give in, go to the doctor, and say, this is what's happening in my life. He says, well, a lot of times this happens with lupus patients. And I'm like, okay. But really, I think it started that night when the enemy came and spoke those words. And I had to learn a whole new prayer life. I had to learn a whole new way of praying and taking authority over that thing, because I knew that the enemy wasn't messing around, and I knew I couldn't either. So Rick and I prayed through that. Well, then life took another kind of interesting spiral. I wanted to read the rest of 2 Corinthians 12. Sorry. See, I know I get on these little tangents. Sorry. Paul saw his illness as a source for spiritual growth. Many people have debated this issue. Did his thorn in his flesh mean that he was sick? Or did it mean something else? Nobody really knows. However, I went back to the Hebrew meaning for suffering, and it means affliction, sickness. Incidentally, it seems that he may have prayed just 3 times for the removal of the affliction and then simply left the matter with the Lord. Well, it took me a lot longer than Paul, just so y'all know. And really, when I finally quit striving for healing, I actually started getting better. That's the truth. The enemy really hates it when we stop striving and quit believing his lies. Peace in God is a weapon. It's one of our biggest weapons against our enemy. When you have peace in God, you're on the right track. Rick, you talked about this story. At communion, the story of Lazarus, John 11:3. The sisters therefore sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But Jesus heard it. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it, so that they might believe more. Okay, we know what happened. Jesus waited 3 days before he got to Lazarus, and he goes, I don't know what all the fuss is about, because let's go to the tomb, and he says, Lazarus, come out. And here he comes out in his grave clothes. He's been dead for 3 days. And he walks out because of the word of God. Jesus spoke the truth. He spoke to his body. He was resurrected, and he got out of the tomb. And he was, I don't know if he was better. Does it say he got better? Do we know that he got completely healed? I don't know. Do you guys know? In Psalm 27, 13 through 14, don't be impatient. Wait for the Lord and he will come and save you. Be brave, stout-hearted, and courageous. Yes, wait and he will help you. That's been a scripture that I've clung to. Another one, Revelation 21, 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That is when we have overcome this world and this life. Scriptures to live by. Well, you may not think so, but some scriptures you can trust. Many are the afflictions in Psalm 34, 19, it says, of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from him all. Delivers him out of them all. Peter 4, 12 through 13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. He always provides a way of escape so that you will be able to endure and keep moving forward. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. There it is again. That you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. It's all unto glory what we go through, you guys. It's all unto after here. It will be that the kingdom comes to earth. I hope so in our lifetime. I'm not sure. I don't think anybody knows for sure. Well, I'd love to just have it happen here in our lifetime. Wouldn't you? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Any temptation you face will be nothing new. But God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can handle. Really? Sometimes I'm not sure about that. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes it feels awfully lonely in the midst of it. But he always provides a way of escape so that you will be able to endure and keep moving forward. 2 Timothy 1:7, you see, God did not give us a cowardly spirit, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Or it also says a disciplined spirit. So I think that's interesting too. Because we know what the fruits of the Spirit are. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I think the Lord put that at the end because he knew how long it would take us to get some self-control. Suffering is a momentary thing. It prepares us for more glory. One of the counterintuitive truths about suffering is that it prepares Christians for more glory. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:17 through 18, this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. That's a great scripture right there. I love that scripture. Psalm 27, 13 through 14. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Because in your waiting, you grow. You expand. You get deeper. You get a root system. And your root system goes way, way down into the soil. So that when the winds do blow and the adversity does come, because it will, and you've all experienced it, that your tree, your root system, is being held together by the roots under the ground. And hopefully you've got a strong root system. If you don't, get one. Get on your knees before the Lord and pray and pray and pray and pray. And you will get a stronger root system. Seek, and he is quick to answer you. Not maybe in the timing you thought, but if you seek his face, I'll guarantee he'll answer you. Because the word says he will. And that's why I finished my teaching. I'm going to be right on time. I'm so happy. I get to go to Tacoma. We're getting another baby in our family. Another adopted baby for Kyle and Alyssa. So, yeah, it's very exciting. That has been our other trial, and you guys know that. Most of you know that our daughter Alyssa almost died at the age of 6. And so that was an even harder trial for our family. And I don't talk about it much because it's not finished. If it was over, I would talk more about it. And people try to tell me sometimes that they understand. No, they don't understand. You don't understand until you've walked in my shoes. You know, so please be careful when you tell people that you understand what they're going through. You don't. You don't know. Our journeys are all different. Just be compassionate and kind and pray. That's all God's asking you to do. Support them. Encourage them. Send them letters. Because I'll tell you, there has been nothing more painful than our daughter almost dying. And then watching her go through so many procedures and processes afterward. She's probably got more scars on her body than just about any soldier or anything. She's pint-sized. She's 5'5" tall, and she weighs about 100 pounds. And she is the strongest little creature on the earth, I think, sometimes, because she has been determined that she is going to trust God no matter what. She has been determined since she was a little girl to serve the Lord, and she has. And so she, man, I just think of what it's going to look like for her when she sees glory. She's just going to, it's going to be so powerful. Anyway, Romans 8, 31 through 39. This is what I was supposed to teach on. And the reason I didn't give you these verses at first is because I had to share all that first, because this all applies now. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Really, that is the truth, you guys. He who did not even spare his own son but gave him up on behalf of us all, is it possible that, having given us his son, he would not give us everything else too? Yes, it is possible. He will give us healing. We may not see it till the other side when we meet him face to face. Is that okay? Are you sure? It's true. There's been a lot of people, including John Wimber, that have perished early. They were seeking God's healing like no other. And they were seeing amazing things happen. But was it okay that he passed early? You don't get to decide that. God decided that. He died of cancer. Nothing happens that God doesn't allow. I want you to hear that, okay? Nothing happens in our lives if we're in Christ and we're trusting Christ. There is nothing in our lives that God doesn't allow. He's sovereign. He's in control. He gets to do what he will. He knows us. We began with him. We started with him. We'll finish with him. He is perfect. He will get us to the other side. He will do it. So who will bring a charge against God's chosen people? Another version is, who will bring a charge against God's elect? Certainly not God. He is the one who causes them to be considered righteous because we've accepted the sacrifice of his son. Who punishes them? Certainly not Messiah Yeshua, who died, and more than that, has been raised, is at the right hand of God and is actually pleading on our behalf. Who will separate us from the love of the Messiah? Trouble? Are you going to let trouble? Hardship? Persecution? Hunger? Poverty? Danger? Or war? Are you going to let those things separate you from the love of God? Have you not been tested in some of these areas? You probably have if you're sitting in this house today. As the Torah puts it, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. How about that one? Psalm 44:22. No, in all these things we are super conquerors. We are. That's why I'm confident of these things. We are super conquerors through the one who has loved us. I am convinced, like never before, that God's love is so deep, so rich, so real. There is nothing that will ever take me away from him. But I've gained that through suffering. There's been a lot of wonderful things that have happened in my life, and so I'm just picking on this one subject, just so you know, only because I don't hear it spoken very often, and God said it's time. It's time. There is suffering that's caused by our own sin. I don't deny that. But I do know that my affliction was not caused by my own sin. God gave me confidence of that. Nor was Alyssa's. They were genetic predispositions from probably past sins, sins of my past, the forefathers, because God, you know, never intended that man was going to fall in the garden, for heaven's sakes. But once he did, he made provision for it. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor other heavenly rulers, neither what exists nor what is coming, neither powers above nor powers below, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which comes to us through the Messiah, Yeshua, our Lord. And here's what we have to look forward to. Promises to those who overcome. Revelation 2:7, to him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of the of life, which is in paradise. Revelation 2:11, he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. I love that promise. Revelation 2:17, to him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone which no one knows. Revelation 2:26, and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. This is all unto something, people. Revelation 3:5, he who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3:12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. Revelation 3:21, he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Revelation 21:7, he who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Those are pretty amazing promises. If you're suffering today with anything, there's no shame in your suffering. Even if you brought it on yourself, I just want you to hear that. God is for you, not against you. He is for us. He's not against us. He has a plan and a purpose for every one of our lives, no matter what's happened before. He wants us, like Joni said earlier, to come to him with everything. Come and be totally his. Be immersed in him in every possible way. And if you're still trusting in men or man, and you still are not owning your own relationship with Jesus, just ask for a little bit of help. That's what the body of Christ is for. That's who we are to be. We are supposed to be encouraging each other, building each other up. And really, I know that evangel is that place. That's why I feel like I'm just kind of preaching to the choir here. But if it helps anybody in the room, I don't care that you guys had to endure this message. Because I want your roots to go down deep. I want you to have a deep, deep root system. I want you to be encouraged to know that God is for you and not against you, and that he does have the perfect plan and purpose for your life. And it may not look like what you want it to or think it should, but I'm here to say today, 35 years later, I'm still here. I'm still alive. My daughter's 31, and she's got two babies. She's getting another baby, but she's got one son they adopted and is getting a second, a daughter. And God has been faithful. He didn't have to do that, you guys. He did not have to give us the desires of our hearts yet, but he did, because all of you been contending for us, just as I contend for you. And he is faithful. He will complete what he began in us. He will complete what he began in us, because he called us, and to him who has called us, he is faithful. And he cannot deny himself, because he is all good, and he is all knowing, and he's everlasting. Amen. Thanks, you guys.